Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is so good, so amazing. And as Pastor has said, I have sought the Lord, and I do have a word for you today. And I believe it is of God. If you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we will be reading from verses 42 through 47. I think that the song selection was very appropriate for the message that the Lord has given me, as this has been quite a trying week, that the enemy has tested my tenacities, tested my will, so to speak. And during that struggle, this word was birthed from it, and I hope that it will encourage and empower someone today. When you get to 1 Samuel 17, say amen. This is a story we've all heard before many times, but as I was praying, the Lord gave me some thoughts on this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, Preaching to the Enemy. Preaching to the Enemy. And as I said, that this message was birthed out of warfare. This wasn't just something I just thought of off the top of my head. It came in the middle of a struggle, a very difficult struggle, and I will be alluding to that earlier. But before we proceed any further, I want to enlist the aid of the Holy Spirit, because I can do nothing. I'm just a man. I'm nobody special. Jesus is the star of the show, and I want him to have his way today. And I hope by the end of this message that somebody will get victory over something that you've been fighting with today, that you'll get liberty today. Lord Jesus, right now, we just love you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you're the almighty God, that you are all-powerful, and that there is nothing beyond your capability. And God, that there is no enemy that you cannot fight or vanquish or defeat, that there is no foe that comes in our midst, oh God, that we cannot overcome. And I speak in the name of Jesus that the spirit of liberty, the spirit of freedom would even arrest the hearts and the minds of the people of God today, and that they would get victory over the adversary, the devil, over all of his attacks and all of his weapons, all of his ways, all of his devices, that they would not stand against the church of the living God. And I speak in Jesus' name that the church of the living God be blessed, and let them be liberated in all that they do today. We thank you. We give you praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, that the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. I was in a fight this week. Started about a month ago. It kind of came to a head a week ago on Sunday, and in the midst of this particular fight that I was in, the Lord brought some things to my memory. When I was in my late teens, I had a strange dream, and in the dream I was at my parents' house, and I woken up in the middle of the night, and I went to go get a drink of water from the refrigerator, and bear in mind, this is the dream, okay? And as I was going to the refrigerator to get a drink of water, I looked outside at the driveway, and I saw that my brother, Paul, was in his car, and the light was on in his car. I was wondering, what is he doing this late at night in his car? And so I went outside to investigate. And I went and I approached the vehicle, and as I approached the vehicle, I noticed that there was something strange about the car, that there was light. The interior lights were on in the car, and there was a figure that was in the car, but the figure was absorbing the light. The light wasn't reflecting off of the individual, which I thought was my brother. And when I got to the car and I went to the door was ajar, it was open, the figure leapt on me, and it was actually an evil spirit. And it began to attack me, and I wrestled with it. and it began to drag me down my lawn towards the street, towards my neighbor's house. And when this occurred, this evil voice began to shout at me in some sort of foreign language, like tongues or something like that. And a horror and a fear gripped me that I can't even begin to describe as I was being dragged down the lawn towards this voice. It was like a vortex, some sort of whirlpool that was sucking me towards it. And as I was being overwhelmed by the horror and by the fear of this evil entity that was attacking me, the Holy Ghost rose up in me and just said one word. And the one word it said was preach. That was it. That's all it said was to preach. And I remembered that during my times of prayer, when I would get really intense in the spirit, get deep in the spirit, I would just start preaching. It was my gift. It's what the enemy has fought me since I was a child, was against the gift of speaking out and preaching. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost rose up me, and I just decided to preach as I was being dragged down that lawn. And as it did, it was like Popeye eating spinach. I just threw the figure off of me. I stood my ground and I faced the voice and I said in the name of Jesus, and I opened up my text and began to preach towards that voice. And the louder I got, the quieter it got. And then it was nighttime, and the night turned to day, and the sun began to shine. And the voice went silent as I began to preach under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost against that spirit that was attacking me. I woke up from the dream preaching, sat up in my bed praying in tongues as the Spirit of God was inspiring. It was not just a dream. Something was trying to get me. Something was trying to attack me. And the only way I could get out of it was by preaching the Word of God. The word preaching only simply means to declare, to state what the Word of God has said, to make a declaration, to make a decree. And oftentimes we hear of the phrase preaching to the choir, which is a colloquialism, which means to present an idea, a perspective, or an opinion, or an argument to an audience that already agrees with it. That preaching to choir is preaching to an easy audience, one that's going to amen you, one that's going to support you in your preaching. And it's very fun to preach to the choir, to have somebody in your corner that's backing up and establishing and agreeing with what you have to say. But the Scripture commands us not only to preach to those that agree with us, but to preach to those that disagree, actually to preach to everybody. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Everything that lives and breathes, or even doesn't live or breathe, needs a sermon, needs a word, and needs to be preached at, because the fact of the matter is our world, our universe is out of course due to the corruptive nature of sin. And because of that, it is out of alignment with what God originally designed and intended it to be. And so it needs an alignment, it needs a correction. And so therefore the people of God have been charged with this obligation, with this duty to preach the gospel to every creature, to everything that is in existence, to preach yes to those that are amen you, and preach to those that are trying to destroy you, and those that are hostile not only to the message but also to the messenger. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The word reconciled means to bring into balance, to bring into equality, to bring into peace, or to make one thing say the same as another. When you're looking at your bank book and looking at your checking account, and you see some debits that may not match up with some credits, you want to reconcile the transactions and make your checkbook say the same thing as your bank account. One thing needs to say the same thing as the other. The people of God, as ambassadors of Christ, our job is to make everyone and everything be reconciled to God, to agree with what the Word of God has to say on any given subject in any given circumstance. And the fact of the matter is that everything and everyone needs to be in agreement with what the Word of God says. The Bible says that if they don't, that eventually they will be, because it says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those who would deny the existence of a God, those that would blaspheme the name of Christ, one day will have to be reconciled and will have to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God, that he is the sovereign Lord, that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. They will have to acknowledge his supremacy. They will have to acknowledge his sovereignty, his power, his grace, and his righteousness. They will have to acknowledge it because they must be reconciled. Now, when something defies or disagrees or refuses to come into alignment with what the Word of God says, it either will comply or be brought to nothing. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 11. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Famous story in Scripture. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is Jesus Christ coming from the city of Bethany after the triumphal entry. Verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, I want to just draw something to your attention here. The word there for answered is, I'm going to try and say this without messing it up, is apokrinomihi, which means to give an answer to a question proposed, to answer, to begin to speak, but always where something is preceded, either said or done, to which the remarks refer. Now, the Bible says that Jesus answered the fig tree. It didn't say that he was just talking to it. He was answering it. The fig tree was talking to Jesus. Jesus was responding to something that the fig tree said. The fig tree was talking to Jesus when he approached it. So when Jesus cursed the fig tree, it was because the tree had said something that disagreed or defied what the will of the living word of God desired. Jesus was responding or answering its declaration of unfruitfulness or production of food for himself. Therefore, it was cursed. The fig tree said, I'm not going to produce anything. And Jesus said, well, I beg to differ then. Well, if that's the way you want it, then be cursed. From this point on, grow no more. When something does not comply with what God says, the Bible said that he's going to make it comply. He answered it. You need to answer some things. The devil's talking. Your situation is trying to tell you that you cannot make it. You need to respond with an answer. Mark 11, verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. We as believers need to preach. We need to proclaim, declare, and command anything that is not in alignment with the word of God to obey, to comply, to surrender, or to be destroyed. This is especially true to the enemy whose sole purpose is to thwart the will of God. Yes, you need to preach to the devil. This message, yes, it may be for you, but it's primarily for the devil that's been trying to kill me all week. This message is for him because I want him to know that the word of God is still true. I want him to know that you need to cease and desist all activity. I've got a warrant out for your arrest, and I want to evict you out of your place in my life in the name of Jesus. Verse 23 of Mark 11 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. It starts off by saying that you've got to say to the mountain, speak to your obstacle, speak to your enemy, open your text, get a soapbox, get a pulpit, and start preaching, thus says the Lord, to your mountain, and say, you must obey, you must surrender, you must comply with what the word of God says. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. There is a dumb spirit that is trying to arrest the mouths of the children of God, preventing us from speaking, thus says the Lord. And one of the reasons why we're not saying anything is because we don't really believe what the word of God says. But when you believe, you will open your mouth and you'll declare what God has said on the subject. I want to turn back to my scripture text. I want to look at, I want to start two verses prior to what we started with to give some context here. 1 Samuel 17:40. When David volunteered to fight Goliath, Saul attempted to persuade David to wear his armor and weapons, but David refused because they didn't fit. It didn't work, and he had never used them before in a battle situation. David then began preparing himself in order to go into battle. We find here in 1 Samuel 17:40. And it says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. Even his scrip and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, that word there, brook, is the word nachal, which means a river, a brook, a valley. It can also be translated valley, stream, or flood. A stream or brook that's found in the valley. David got the ammunition that would be used to kill his enemy from a river that was down in the valley. In the like manner, we as believers, we will find our ammunition by getting into the deepness of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in John 7:38 that he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The reason why that you're losing the battle is because you got no real ammunition. You got a gun, but you got no bullets. You got nothing to fire at the enemy. And the only weapons that are going to be used against the enemy that will be effective will come from the Spirit of God. I want to tell you where this message came from. For the last month, the enemy has been attacking my children with sickness. For every week, one of my children, if not all of them, have been sick with some sort of illness or ailment. And after a while, I was getting tired of it. And a matter of fact, last Sunday, after dealing with it for over a month, one of them was either throwing up or had a fever or had a sneeze, had a cold or had a cough or had some sort of flu-like symptoms. And last Sunday, when leaving church, my son contracted a fever of 103 degrees. And so I just got the word, and I began to preach, and I just laid hands. I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, fever, you're going to go away. Fever, you've got to leave in Jesus' name. Within an hour, his fever had gone down 3 degrees. But you know, the enemy doesn't give up that easy. And so he's also said he had a stomach ache. And so we prayed against that. And the next morning he said he was starting to feel a little bit better. But then the fever came back again. We prayed against the game, some medicine went back down. That night it came back again. Back to 103 degrees. And I finally said, that's it. I've had enough. I'm not going to take this anymore. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I got in my bedroom, put my prayer stomping music on, began praying in the spirit. For about 2.5 hours of rebuking and cursing the enemy, this message came to mind. Where God told me, you need to preach to the enemy. And so I got my Bible out, and I looked as if the devil was in the audience. And I began to preach, by his stripes, we are healed. I began to preach Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And I got so mad at the enemy, I started having myself a good old time. Before I knew it, I was shouting and dancing all over the room, speaking to the enemy. When my son woke up, he was completely free of any symptoms. And you know what else is crazy? My daughter Caitlin got a fever too that night. And I just said, no. This time I didn't spend 3 hours. I just made a statement. Like, I'm standing on the word. My wife was there. She'll tell you. We laid hands and said, fever, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. We put you under our feet where you belong. Sickness, we grind you to powder. Be destroyed. Be dismantled. Be cast out in the name of Jesus. And she woke up the next morning, no fever, no symptoms, completely healed, because I began to preach to the enemy. My ammunition didn't come from reading some commentary. My ammunition came from getting in the Spirit of the living God. My ammunition came from the power of the Holy Ghost. God put inside of my mouth a word to slay the enemy. The Bible says he teacheth my hands to war, that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. I'm mad as heaven at the devil today. It's often in the valley that we find our anointing. We find our grip, because we are stripped of all resources. There's nothing else left to help me. All I got is Jesus. And it's at that point when you finally get real with God, when you get serious with the word of God, that's when you start seeing the supernatural and the miraculous.
It's in the valley when you're in a fight that you find out what you're really made of. It's when all hell is breaking loose that you discover whether or not you believe this thing or not. And you'll discover that God is a helper in the midst of trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 23 verse 4 that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the valley of the shadow of death, I found the equipment I need to overcome the struggle. It was in the valley of the shadow of death that the Lord prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. For the Bible says in Psalm 46:1 that God is our refuge and strength, a present help in the time of trouble. He's there when you need him. He'll show up when you need him. Point number one, if you're going to preach to the enemy, you need to have a word. It's like going into a battle with no bullets, even though you got a gun. You need to have word. Too many believers have no word. They are walking around unarmed, and the enemy is able to walk all over their situation and oppress them because they have nothing to deter his attacks. The Bible says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. The word of God was so hot inside of the heart of Jeremiah. He said, I couldn't shut up even if I tried. This word is too good. This word is too true for me to keep it to myself. I'm not going to stay silent. I'm going to speak the word of God to the enemy and show him what's what, and show him whose God is the greatest, whose God is the strongest, whose God is the best, whose God is the victor. The devil is a liar. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Samuel 17:40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, look at this. We think David was only fighting Goliath. David was actually fighting two people. Look what it says here. I'm going to read verse 41 again. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. There was another man that was on the battlefield when David was confronting Goliath. And the Bible said that this man was standing in between him and Goliath. He was in front of Goliath. And this man was a shield bearer. Now, some facts about a shield bearer. A shield bearer's job was to protect the captain, king, or champion in times of peace, and always accompany them in battle. There were an extra shield of protection regarding the champion. This man was fully armored and had two offensive weapons, a sword and a spear, but he also carried a large shield for the sole purpose of protecting a king or a high-ranking officer or a champion like Goliath. Now, I want to draw something to your attention. This shield bearer was with Goliath all the time. 1 Samuel 17:4, the beginning of the chapter. 1 Samuel 17:4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. When Goliath was first making his challenge, this man was there. And we'll discover that he did this every single day for 40 days. 1 Samuel 17, verse 16 of this chapter. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. This shield bearer was with Goliath every single time he made his challenge. I want you to remember that. So when David went to fight Goliath, he was not just fighting Goliath, he was also fighting his shield bearer. And the shield bearer was in between him and Goliath, meaning that if David had to get to Goliath, he would have had to go through a shield bearer to get to him. Now think about this. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 41, I'll read this again. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. They were marching towards David. The Philistine, Goliath, was walking towards David, and the shield bearer was in front of him, walking towards David. because he was a champion and a high-ranking person, this shield bearer was to protect his life at all times. And we see examples of armor bearers throughout Scripture. Jonathan had an armor bearer that helped him win a victory against the Philistines, right? Now, although David was a champion, he wasn't in the eyes of Israel and therefore had no one to attend to him, or did he? Who was David's shield bearer? Turn to Psalm 3:1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which save my soul. There is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Goliath had a shield bearer, and so did David. Now, here's the thing now. The Lord was his shield bearer, but what was the shield that was used to protect David? Psalm 91, verse 2. I want you to see this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The word here in the Hebrew for shield in Psalm 91 verse 4 is sinna. It's the same word that's used to describe the weapon that the shield bearer was carrying on the battlefield against David. Truth was what shielded David. The Lord was his shield bearer, and the Lord used the truth to shield David from the attacks of Goliath. What was the truth that protected David from the assault of Goliath? To find this out, we have to look at verse 36 of 1 Samuel 17. I'm going somewhere with this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with thee. The truth that shielded David was that God was a deliverer, and that because God had delivered him in the past against the lion, and that God had delivered him against the bear, that the Lord would deliver him out of the Philistine. So no matter what show the Philistine, the giant Goliath, put on, it could not penetrate the shield of truth that God was bigger and stronger than him. This is why nobody else could step to Goliath, because they had no shield of truth to protect them from the deception of the giant Goliath. So let me ask you this. Next thing I want to say. The truth is what's going to shield you whenever you're going through a fight. You need to know the truth that God is on your side, and that God is a deliverer, and God does not bring you into a situation just to leave you there, but God is going to bring you through. Notice he said, yea, they'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're going through hell, don't stay there. Keep walking. You need to let this truth get in your spirit, because the Bible says in John 8:32, and he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. When you're in a fight, you need to know the truth. And the truth is, God is bringing me out of this. God is going to win the battle. God is going to protect me from the attacks of the enemy. Point number two, if you're going to preach to the enemy, you had better know the truth. You better know what you're talking about, because the enemy's tricky. Which brings me to my next point. Because if the Lord was David's shield bearer, and the truth was what shielded David, what was the shield that Goliath's armor bearer was carrying? The devil often tries to counterfeit what God is doing. And so if truth is the armor or the shield that protected David, then a lie would be what protected Goliath. I think you see where I'm going with this. It was a lie that protected and shielded Goliath from anyone of Israel attacking him. We find in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The only defense the enemy has is deception and lies. Because once you get woke and you wake up to the truth that your God has empowered you to overcome what you're fighting, he's got no defense. When you call his bluff, he's got nothing to say. You got to know the truth and buy the truth and sell it not, because the truth will make you free. Deuteronomy 33 verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. The enemy that you're fighting is a liar. It's an imposter. It's something trying to show or to get you to think that it's greater and bigger and stronger and better than you are, and that you cannot win the fight. He cites you out. He's got you to think that you cannot win. But once you know the truth, that defense that the enemy is removed, and the enemy can be attacked. Hallelujah. In order to kill your giant, how many in here have a giant in here? In order to kill the giant, you first need to kill the shield bearer. You first need to kill the lie that the enemy told you that said there was no hope. You first need to kill the lie that the enemy told you that you'd never be healed of your sickness or disease. You need to kill the shield bearer that's propagating the lie and the falsehood that you'll never be blessed financially. You need to kill the enemy that says that you'll always be lonely. You'll always be depressed. You'll always be a loser. You'll always be rejected. You'll always be isolated and ostracized. You've got to kill the lie to get to the giant. You've got to kill the lie. You've got to get down in your spirit that you're not a loser, that you are a winner. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, but whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you born of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, that's what you have the prerequisites. You are eligible for a victory, because if you've been born of God, it's in your DNA, it's in your blood to win the fight. That when you get into the ring with the enemy, it's in your blood, it's in your spirit, it's in your heart to overcome every obstacle, to defeat every foe, to knock out every opponent. You are an overcomer. It's in your DNA. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that you cannot win. He's a liar and the father of lies. First Samuel 17 verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he is but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. This was not a war of swords, it was a war of words and of gods. The main fight was not visible to the human eye. The main fight was spiritual and was that of words. Goliath came at him, cursing him by his gods, and perpetuated the lie that he was going to destroy David and feed him to the animals and the beasts of the field. He did everything he could to put on a show and air of arrogance, to say I'm the strongest, to say I'm the biggest, and to say that I am the baddest. And the cool thing is, after Goliath got done preaching, David said, well, let me take the pulpit for just a minute and let me open up my text and tell you what my God says on the subject. I hear in the word of God in Isaiah 54 verse 17 that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. The things that Goliath said to David didn't faze him, because David had a shield of truth to block the lies that the enemy was trying to tell him. Curse me by your God bounces off the shield of truth. In the New Testament, we call it the shield of faith. Your faith is only as strong as much as you know the truth and as much as you know the word. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to get the truth down in your heart. Psalm 33, 4 says, hallelujah, the word of the Lord is right and all of his works are done in truth. Get it in your spirit today. Psalm 33 verse 9 says, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. When God says something on the subject, it's as good as done. You've got to know the truth.
1 Samuel 17, 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. The name of the Lord is what David came to Goliath with. Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. He invoked that name that is above every other name in order to win the battle. He said, you've got weapons, I've got weapons. To 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. We've got weapons too, devil. You packing it? I got my packing heat. You want to go toe-to-toe? Let's go. Let's meet down by the monkey bars and let's see whose God is the biggest and the baddest. Has she come out of high? Now I want you to understand something here. Hikaramahaya. Jesus. Look what David said when he got to the pulpit. Listen to what David said when he got on his soapbox and opened up his text. 1 Samuel 17 verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. I want to pause here just for a minute, because Goliath said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw your body to the carcasses. But David said, I'm not only going to kill you, I'm going to kill your whole army. Look, he said, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day. He's not, I'm just not coming after you, Satan. I'm coming after your whole entourage. I'm coming after your whole posse. I'm not just fighting just one giant. I'm going to kill the whole army. I'm going to take you all out. Your cousin, your auntie, and your nephew too. I'm taking you all out in Jesus' name. He went up to me. He said, oh, you think you can get me? I can take your whole family out. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to take all the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear, sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. One of the reasons why you have to overcome your situation, one of the reasons why you've got to beat your current enemy, because there are others looking at you wondering if you're going to make it, and if you beat this giant, it will give somebody the inspiration and the guts to stand up to their giant. Somebody needs to get in their spirit, hallelujah, that I'm a giant killer, that I'm a giant slayer, and that I'm greater than what the enemy has thrown at me. Now, this is where it gets interesting. 1 Samuel verse 17, chapter 17, verse 48. I'm trying to quit. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Now, one who made the first move? The devil did. The Philistine did. Goliath made the first move. And the Bible says that David was not scared. He was not shaking in his boots. The Bible said he hasted. He ran at the enemy as fast as he could.
He said, finally, I get to shut you up. You've been talking to my ear all day. Now it's my turn. Let's go. It said he ran toward the army. Notice it says he ran toward the army. Not just the giant. He ran towards the army because he's going to take the whole army out. Verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. But the stone sunk in his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now here's where it gets interesting. Remember, Goliath had a shield bearer. And remember, the shield bearer was in front of Goliath, in between David and Goliath. Where's the shield bearer? What happened to the shield bearer? Why didn't the shield bearer protect Goliath when David threw the stone? Where did the shield bearer go? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, so I'm going to give you some theories. Three possibilities. One, when Goliath attacked David, he got up to attack him. He got in front of his shield bearer to fully engage him in combat so that the shield bearer was ineffective in protecting because Goliath was in front of his shield as opposed to behind it. And the fact of the matter is, when you expose the lies of the enemy has no choice but to finally come out and finally deal with you. When you say, I'm not buying it anymore, he finally shows his true colors and finally starts to come at you with everything that he's got. Theory number one. Theory number two. David's stone was too fast or powerful to block with the shield. The devil can't do anything to stop the word of God rightly divided and spoken against him under the power of the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The word of God can penetrate any defense that the enemy has. It's too fast for the devil to block it. It's too powerful for the enemy to stop it. The shield bearer, which was the lie that the enemy had put at the front, could not stop the word of God from going forth and hitting its targets. Praise God. Number three, third possibility. The shield bearer fled because of the words of David, who said he would kill him as well as Goliath, or the intensity of his assault. When David got done preaching, the shield bearer was gone. When you get done speaking God's word, the lie that the enemy told you should be gone. And now the enemy is vulnerable to open attack, where I can engage him fully. Now that we've put away all the deception, all the cloak and dagger, all the tricks and the mind games he's trying to make you think, oh, you're not going to get it today. There's no way you're getting out of this situation. The bill is due Tuesday, and I don't get paid till two Fridays from now. There's no way of getting out of here. You've got to get rid of the shield bearer. And once you start speaking the truth and you preach to the enemy, there's nothing to protect the giant that you're fighting. Look at this now. 1 Samuel 17, verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The shield bearer was supposed to protect the champion. And after his champion got knocked down, after David got done preaching, David could walk up to Goliath, stand on his body, and cut his head off uncontested. Uncontested. When he finally got done preaching to the enemy. And that's exactly what the result should be. When you start preaching to the enemy, he's got to go down. So now here's the thing. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wound of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. When David defeated Goliath, suddenly everyone got bold. Where are you at? Now remember this.
The shield bearer was with Goliath every time. For 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath made his challenge, and that shield bearer was there the entire time. The lie that Goliath could beat anybody was there the entire time. And as long as the children of Israel saw that that lie was there, the Bible said that they were so afraid that they ran away in their tents. But once the lie was removed, they suddenly got the courage to fight the entire army. And that's the fact of the matter is, you have got to win your fight. This isn't just about you. There's something greater that's going on in the spirit realm. There's something bigger than you. Your victory could mean salvation for somebody else, could mean revival for a church. It could mean deliverance for an entire group of people. If you would just stand your ground and fight, destroy the shield bearer and fight and preach against the enemy. Let's stand. You've got to preach. I don't got any suit. I don't have a tie. I don't have an armor bearer to carry my suitcase. You don't need any of that. You don't even need a pulpit. All you need is a mouth and some scriptures. And the guts to say them. The guts to say it when everyone else says it's ridiculous for you to say it. The guts to look stupid. The guts to look foolish. To look dumb whenever you're standing in faith and everyone's saying it's hopeless. They're saying you're helpless. They're saying abandon your faith. Why don't you just curse God and die and abandon your integrity to leave God behind? It looks ridiculous for you to stand your ground. It's just the shield bearer trying to tell you the lie. You've got to preach to the enemy today, church. I don't know what you're fighting today. I tell you, I've been through hell and high water this past few weeks. And I'm telling you, I won today. I got the victory. I got the victory. And if you want the victory, like David, don't stand right there in the pew, but you run towards your giant. You run towards your giant and you speak to the shield bearer. You speak to that lie that the enemy told you. And you say, I say in the name of Jesus, you've got to go. In the name of Jesus, you are defeated. What shall we then say to these? And if God be for us, who can be against us? You got to preach to the enemy. Stop begging God for victory. Start walking the victory you already have. God is with you. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, God is with you. He's in you. And you have everything you need to win. The enemy may come at you with finances, but you come at him with the name of the Lord. He may come at you with sickness. You come at him with the name of the Lord. He may come at you with depression, but you come at him with the name of the Lord, with the word of God and with the truth. And you stand on it. You stand on it, on that word that's unmovable. The Bible said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. If you've been fighting a giant and not making headway, and you feel like you're about to give up, feel like it's hopeless, feel like there's no way I can win the fight, today I offer you hope. And I want this truth to resonate within the confines of your spirit and in your soul. That the God that we serve is a deliverer. And he will bring you out of this situation if you put your trust in him. If you put your faith in him. He will bring you out. We used to sing this song in the hymns back when I was a kid. That he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to say. He put a song of praise in my heart. A song of praise, hallelujah. God wants to bring you out. But you got to let him. At no juncture was David at all scared when he walked to Goliath. Because he knew the truth. Know the truth today. Here's the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ loves you. He died for your sins. He died for all of your mistakes and all of the things that you've done wrong. And he wants to have a relationship with you. But you have got to deny the lie that the enemy told you, that you cannot be forgiven or that God isn't even real. He is real. And he's here today to save. Open up your heart. Give yourself over to God. Know the truth. And the truth will make you free. I open up these altars today. If you'd like prayer, go ahead and come forward. If you'd like to receive Christ, if you'd like to be filled.